Hi, my name is Mariana. I'm from Brazil and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cold Talks, the Coldplay Fans podcast for its last episode of the year. Season one is coming to an end. It was such a pleasure to have everyone here to begin this project. It's such a weird moment of history, but being approved that music and art can save our lives, and talking about music and talking about art can save our lives and detach ourselves from the mass, the chaos in the world outside. My name is Rodrigo. I am your host for this podcast. I'm pretty sure you know that by now, but well, never late to introduce myself. And this last episode for me particularly, and I hope that for you too, is very, very special, a very nice way to finish everything for me personally, and I hope that for you too, that is with Mari. Mari is a friend of mine for 5-6 years now, and we basically started talking because of Coldplay and became really great friends. Like, for me, Mari is exactly the point of this podcast. We begin in Coldplay, we begin with our obvious similarities, that is our favorite band, and then we start talking and talking and talking, and when we realize we're talking about ourselves, not only about the band. So I hope that you really enjoyed our conversation, and we talked a lot about live concerts. More precisely, we went to basically the same concert. You are going to listen to this part of the conversation. It was a very nice one. And as I told you, this is the last episode of the season. We see each other now in 2022 for season two. There are lots of different things that are coming next season, but the essence will be exactly the same. Myself and the guests talking about the band. This will remain the same, but new kinds of episodes are coming, and that's where I stop. No more spoilers. I would also like to remember you to follow Code Talks on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Code Talks Pod, P-O-D, at the end, in all of them. Follow or like us in the platform that you're listening to this podcast right now, not to miss the next episodes that are just coming next year, but I mean, they are coming sometime. And I don't know, use that time, like this break period, this end of the year period, to listen to the previous episodes that you haven't listened to. I think that is a great time of the year for you to do so. And of course, have a nice 2022 and Merry Christmas to you all. We are officially in the Christmas lights season. We're going to talk a little bit about it. That's it. I won't waste our time anymore. Let's go. Cold Talks, Mari. Hello, Mariana, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
This is going to be so nice. Well, listeners, Mariana is a friend of mine from, how long are we friends?
Like 5 years.
4 to 5 years.
Four.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a long time, right? And she's also from Brazil. Like, English is not her first language. So it's kind of funny. I think this is the first time that we actually speak in English to each other, right?
Yes, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm speaking English. I don't know how to do this, but let's do this.
Let's do this. No, you're going great. You're going great. Don't worry. Mari, how do you introduce yourself from people? Well, this is a podcast about Coldplay, and usually for people who are on Twitter, like people on Twitter, on Coldplay Twitter, listen to this a lot. And you created, like, you first appeared here in the Music of the Spheres deep dive we did some months ago when it first got released. And basically, you created a Twitter account to talk about Coldplay because of me. Because I annoyed you so much that you said, okay, I'm going to make it. So how do you introduce yourself to people?
I'm Mari, or Mariana, if you want to say my name, but I don't really like it, so Mari, it's fine.
Really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mari, it's like more more friendly way to
get it,
to say my name.
Yeah.
But I'm a chemistry teacher. I'm 23 and I'm from Brazil. And I'm a Coldplay fan for like I don't know, 11 years maybe.
Ooh.
I don't know exactly.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I don't know exactly when I wake up and I said, I'm a Coldplay fan now. So
yeah.
I don't know exactly when it started, but I think it's like 11 years from now.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't know exactly what to say about me. It's very difficult to talk about yourself, but okay.
Yeah, we struggle a lot in that. Okay, you basically answered a question even before I asked you. That is, I know there isn't like a moment where you wake up and say, oh, this is my favorite band. But usually we can connect this to some moments of our lives. And I think I know a bit of that story from you. Do you have like a turning point, something that happened that you noticed? Oh, like, oh, those guys are special. Like those four British handsome men has something that is different from the others.
I think Rock in Rio. Mm. Rock in Rio happened.
2011.
Yes. And I watched the show with my dad. We were at home and I said to him, oh, that's really a nice concert. And he said, we have to see it someday live. And I said, let's do this.
And you did, right?
Yeah. 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 Like 6 years later.
6 years later.
But I think Rock in Rio was the point when I started to pay attention to Coldplay, because I've always listened to Coldplay when I was a kid, like with 8-9 years, because I have an aunt who likes it, who likes Coldplay, and she used to listen, especially Fix You.
Got it.
And The Scientist, and I don't know. I think Rock in Rio was the point.
Got it. Yeah, that concert was something. I think everybody that is from Brazil, if it was not there presentially, remembers exactly what he or she were doing in the moment of that concert. Because I remember that I was in my father's house. My parents were just divorced. It was not a good moment in my life. And I was in my father's house. And everyone was asleep because they were the headliner. So, and the TV volume was very low because I couldn't listen to it like in a high volume as I should have. I remember it was the month of Milo's release.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first era that I was really joining the community and listening to what people had to say. Like I started reading some Coldplay blogs here from Brazil, like Viva Coldplay and Coldplay Brazil. So
mm-hmm.
Both sites that still exist until today. They are very good sites, by the way. So I was starting to get this sense of community that the Coldplay fandom has. Like lots of people gathering together and talking about the band. And I remember that I was beginning to tweet. I had just made a Twitter. Unfortunately, my first Twitter was a mess. And it still exists, by the way. I couldn't delete the
yeah,
user.
I have the same. I have the same account since, I don't know, 2009. It's the same.
Wow. I hope I had. Because if people nowadays see that, like, I'm going to be canceled, like, for sure. There are just lots of homophobic and problematical stuff. Well, I don't even like to mention it. It's horrible, but I mean, it's from 2010. It's like everybody at 2010 would be canceled nowadays, and thank God about that. But well,
mm-hmm.
But I remember that I was just freaking out. Like I remember I'm not a good drawer, but I used to have like a small notebook with doodles. I remember I used to like make a small diary, but not in text. Only in doodles. Very poorly drawn, very ridiculous. I remember I would write. I have pictures of that. Maybe I would still have this notebook. Maybe I will post it later. I used to write.
I want
to
like, see it.
Let me get it. Wait, just a second. I'm going to get it. It's right here. See, I used to call the Things notebook. Can you see it? Things One, the Things notebook.
Things one.
It's ridiculous. And this is the day of Coldplay on Rock in Rio. I've written all the like the lyrics and the name of the tracks, and I was like freaking out about Milo Xyloto, and this is ridiculous, but I mean, it's something that I always remember when I remember on that day, because everything is here, like the whole set list, everything is here. And in the middle, we have like Coldplay and Rock in Rio, because the middle was usually the first thing, the major thing of the day. And yeah, this is ridiculous, but it's here.
I have a book that I had back then, but I don't really know where it is. I will find it later.
Okay.
But I remember that I used to print some figures from the band. Photos, yeah. And put it on the wall like, oh, that's my bed now. I'm gonna put this thing right here.
Yeah.
And I remember the first album that I bought with my own money, like I worked and I bought my album was Milo. So
really?
Yeah, I have it like until back today. Here somewhere.
Got it, yeah. I have the same story with Viva La Vida. It was the first album that... There is a very famous store that it's something like Target here in Brazil called Americanas. I grabbed it with my own hands and say, I'm going to buy that. And it was like very cheap. Well, I think it was 10 reais. It was very cheap. And it was like, I felt so proud of it. It was the first thing I bought with my own money. And I still have it until today. Like, this is more than 10 years old.
I bought Ghost Stories DVD for, I think it was 14.
Yes, me too.
It's very cheap.
It's unreasonably cheap because, I mean, the Ghost Stories DVD is not only a DVD, it's a double thing. You have the CD version and a DVD version, and it's very cheap. So, like, it clearly we have something wrong happening. But, well, back then, I didn't know about that.
I think that's why Americanas stopped selling this things.
Yes, usually they sold it at a very cheap price. So, I mean, something there was happening for sure. You talked about the fact that when you watched that concert, I think it was October 1st. Yeah, I have the date here. What am I doing? I have the date in my notebook. Yeah, it was October 1st. 2011, yes. And you said 6 years later, almost exactly, you went to a Coldplay concert, right? But we're going to talk about that later. Hold on to that topic, because this is a topic for the future. I want to make a quick profile thing. And this is interesting because I don't know your answers. We know each other for a long time, and I don't know what you're going to answer me. But I know what your favorite album is, but I will let you answer that. But I don't know what your favorite song is. So what is your favorite Coldplay album?
X and Y.
I knew about that. Very good. Can you say why?
I think it was the first album I heard back then. My dad came to me and he said, you have to listen to this. And he put the hardest part.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a very good song.
Was it your first song?
No.
No? Okay.
No. But it was like the point when I started to listen to the whole album. I took the album. I think that my favorite song now is Square One. But at that time, me and my dad, we used to listen to the hardest part like every day. Because of that song, the hardest part, I took the album and I listened to it like from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's something special.
Yeah.
Until today, it's my favorite album. I don't know. Of course, I like the other albums, but there's something special about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're very brave because X and Y is not, well, it's not an easy album. Like to be the first piece of work that you listen as a child of like 11 or I don't know, maybe 13 years old. It's not easy. And it's a long album. It's more than 1 hour long. Do you remember that if you listen to Kingdom Come or not? Because I mean,
yes.
in the CD version, we had a very long period of silence.
Mm-hmm.
Like after Twisted Logic, before to Kingdom Come.
Yeah, but I think that I remember actually that I was with the album. I don't remember if it was like on a CD or on
the MP3 files.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I remember that I listened to everything. Like, I don't had that empty space.
Got it.
I just, you know what I mean. Like,
got it.
I think it was the MP3 file.
It was just like a regular track.
That you don't have the silence part. Yeah.
Yeah. I love when Coldplay used to do that. Like, it's been a long time since they don't do like the sync of hidden tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time they did that was on A Handful of Dreams with X Marks the Spot. But I mean, we prefer to forget that this song exists. Usually I skip right after Army of One to Amazing Day on A Handful of Dreams because, well, this is a sensitive topic.
But I like X Marks
really?
The Spot. It's like, yes, yes. It's like,
okay.
You have this beat. I don't know. I really like the song.
Wow.
I don't skip it. I don't know. I think Chris is like having fun when he recorded this. It's like,
oh, for sure.
You can see that he's singing like, I don't know. I can imagine like he's smiling and singing like.
Yeah, he's trying to be something else than regular Chris Martin. Let's uh-huh. put it like that. So. This is not, I mean, I remember, have you listened to The Gold Rush?
Yes.
The B-side mm-hmm. from, I think it's from Viva La Vida. No, yeah, it's from Violet Hill. From Viva La Vida is Death Will Never Conquer.
Mm-hmm.
That song is exactly the same thing. They were all in studio, the whole band singing. Even Phil is there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to them like joking around and laughing during the song. So I think it was something similar.
Yeah, and it's in The Gold Rush. It's so fun. It's like,
yeah. It's again, it's a song that they are pretending to be like other people than Chris, Guy, Johnny, Will, and Phil in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So I like when it's like the nappies. <That's> so, that is just so perfect. Like, how come this was never a topic on this podcast? Do you remember the name of the song? Because the nappies was the name of the band. And there was the name of the song.
I Am Your Baby's Daddy.
I Am Your Baby's Daddy. Yeah, that's the name of the song. That's the name of the song. And it's ridiculous, but it's supposed to be. And it's very old. I think it's from Parachutes, like from the Parachutes recordings.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
But yeah, I like when Coldplay do those kind of things, like where they pretend that they are not like enormously famous and just do whatever they want. But yeah, you talked about X and Y, that is your favorite album. We'll explain a little bit about why, but you told that Square One is your favorite song. Do you mean like this is a favorite song from the whole career of the band or just from X and Y?
No, I think it's just from X and Y.
Okay, so what is your favorite song, like considering everything?
It's very hard.
This is a hard question, yeah.
I don't know. It's very hard to say.
Since you're my friend, you can answer more than one. Don't worry about that.
Okay, it's not the favorite, but the first that I think about, it's A Rush of Blood to the Head.
Wow.
Like the song.
Yeah, got it. Can you say why?
I think it's because besides the lyrics, I enjoy like the instrumental part of the song. I don't know.
Got it.
When I first heard it, I wanted to scream like, honey.
Yeah.
And I really like this kind of songs.
Yeah.
When I first heard it back at the time, I wanted to hear some songs that make me want to scream like, honey.
Yeah.
From Parachutes, Warning Sign or Shiver.
Warning Sign is from A Rush of Blood to the Head, isn't it?
Oh, really, 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 really. Yes.
Oh, well, I'm
from
okay.
Parachutes, it's We Never Change. And ooh. From A Rush is A Rush and A Warning Sign.
And Warning Sign, okay.
I made a playlist where I put some of my favorite songs and
yeah, I remember that playlist.
When I look at it, I think I maybe want to change this.
Yeah.
Because every week you have this group of songs that you want to listen like every day. But
yeah.
The next week you change your favorite songs like, yeah. Oh, I think now I will listen to Coloratura.
Yeah.
And you keep listening to it every day. And the next week you think, now I will listen to Don't Let It Break Your Heart.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, like, my favorite song is...
Of course, Coldplay has 9 albums. I mean, it's a lot. Like, I don't want to know your ranking. I don't even believe in rankings. I don't even believe in lists with specific orders. Because of what you say. Like, this is very connected to our mood. Like... Mm-hmm. To what we're thinking about, and if you're happy, you won't listen to Warning Sign. You're going to listen to Don't Let It Break Your Heart, or I don't know, anything past Milo Xylito. The point that I ask this question, and this, like, if you are a previous guest of this podcast or a future one, I don't know. The reason that I asked you about that, because usually our favorite songs, or favorite albums, or even like our favorite foods or favorite anything is connected to a specific story, and that's the whole point. I mean, that's the great part of it, because like I cannot pick a favorite one, but I remember, like, maybe and just maybe, and I think that I never told that here, maybe my favorite Coldplay song is I Run Away. Shout out to I Run Away on Twitter. But yeah. Because I remember, and this is so silly, I remember once that I was going to my finals at school, and I used to walk to school back then, and I remember I got so in love with the original blocks that had B-sides, and that's what I used to listen, like, coming and going from school. I made a playlist only with X and Y and original blocks that had playlists, because I was in the moment of my... career as a Coldplay fan that I was just so sick of listening to like the regular singles and album songs. And then I discovered the B-sides.
Uh-huh.
And that was everything that I used to listen, especially those ones, like the ones from A Rush of Blood to the Head and X and Y. I remember that for like 6 months, that was the only thing that I listened, going and coming from school. So, that's so ridiculously simple, but that's a very nice memory I have. And I remember that I Run Away was the first one of this playlist because it was the one that I most enjoyed. Like, this song is just pure Coldplay, and it's so big, but at the same time so small. Like, they're just following a straight line and with a very, like, reverbed vocal. And mere Coldplay, like, and it's very... pure form. So I know that I Ran Away is not their best song technically or lyrically. It's not the best, but I always remember that it's just a simple moment of my life that I don't even miss. I don't even like being in high school. I only have one friend from high school. I hated lots of people in my classroom. Mostly everybody. I hate mostly all of my teachers. So no, I didn't like high school. But that moment of like walking to school and walking back to school on my way home, I don't know. I cannot explain. But it's the story. I remember
that when I was in high school, I used to listen to talking about B-sides, things I don't understand. And it was like, I really don't understand anything that's happening. So I remember that I used to go to school in my daddy's car. Mm-hmm. I used to put this song to play. I think it's that age when you don't know exactly what you want to do, and you don't know why you have to choose something to do at that point. I don't know. I just remember that I used to think like, I don't understand anything that's happening. Yeah. And this song came to my life. It's like, things I don't understand.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I used to listen to that song like every day, every day, every day.
Yeah.
So from the B-sides, I think it's the one that I heard it the most back that time.
But you got to an interesting point that it's something that I'm noticing that lots of us, like usually people that I interview here are about like from 20 to 30 years, like under 20s, early or late 20s. And I noticed that it's something common that people started listening to Coldplay on teenagehood. People who listen to this podcast regularly, I'm going to be very angry at me because this is the, I don't know, third, fourth time in a row that I tell this story. But by the time that Miley Cyrus came out, like, all my friends, they didn't like the album. They were like, oh, this is too sugarish and too pop for Coldplay. But they liked the album. So I was like, okay, I like this, but I cannot tell that I like, I cannot say this to people. This is just an album, but this same thing happened to religion, sexuality, lots of other things in my life. It was something because when you talked about, like, when you were in high school and there are lots of things you didn't understand, and then you discovered a song that said, like, these are the things that I don't understand. And you say, like, wow, now I'm trying to understand some things. It's so interesting how Coldplay is usually connected to a twist in our teenagehood. Because I think it's usually maybe not the first, but one of the first times that we feel understood, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we feel connected, that we feel... And I used to be so harsh on myself because of that, like... But you know something, I was a teenager. Like, of course I would be ridiculous, you know.
I think that's what happened when you like the band or you like the singer or you like the song. It's because a part of that song speaks to you, like kind of say what you want to say, but sometimes you can't say or you are afraid to say. So you have that special song that tells everything you want to say, and you can tell everybody, like, when you sing, but not when you don't have to say it. You can only sing the song, and you are saying everything you want to say, but you know, most of the times people don't notice this, but you're saying something when you're listening to that song or when you when you're singing that song.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when I said for the first time that I was a Coldplay fan, it was like, I have this band that says what I want to say, but sometimes I can't say, or I'm a little afraid to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason I listen to most of the songs, like in my teenagehood or even now when I listen to the song and I see that I have something that I want to say, that that song is saying for me is like, this is my song now. I will sing this song forever.
Yeah.
This is what happened, like, with Coldplay, with Things I Don't Understand, with Shiver. When you have, like, your first love and you want to say something, but you don't know how to say. You can always connect the songs to things you want to say and to special memories that you have. Like, when we went to the first concert, like, my dad and I. My dad, he's always with me, like... I can't say he's a Coldplay fan because there are some things that he's not like the kind of fan that goes to Twitter and talking with everybody and listen to every songs from every albums.
Got
like
it.
We do at the concert in São Paulo. When the band started to play Fix You, I look at him and he was like, all focused.
Yeah.
When Crazy started to sing, I just stopped and started to cry, like, that's the song, that's the song.
Yeah.
But it's because you have memories with that song. And I think Coldplay is like, I have memories for almost every song from every album.
And even, like, the new songs, they're new. So we cannot, like, remember that song as something that happened in the past and this song was there for you. But at the same time, we have songs there that... Even though they're new, I remember, again, something that people who listen to the podcast will skip for some seconds because I told that a lot right now. But when I listened to Let Somebody Go for the first time, and then we have that same thing on the episode that you appear, like on the Fun Deep Dive, where the guys from Coldplay Philippines connected this song to the pandemics. Like, we had to, this is not a love song. This is a letting go song. So we had to learn, like, not as a choice, how to let the people we want, to let the people we love go. because it was not a choice. I mean, it's not necessarily like someone that I am romantically involved or I don't know. But I mean, this changed the way that I see this song forever. You know, also in Beautiful, which is a song that I didn't like that much in the beginning. And now I cannot say it's my favorite song, but I don't know. I learned to like it more than
yeah, it's the same for me.
It's a grower, right?
I remember that we talked about and I was like, Rodrigo, what's happening? What's
yeah, this song, like that alien and voice.
Now I listen to the song and my sister's like, why are you hearing this?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why do you like this? And I don't know. It's Coldplay. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with this song is that I think we need to get used to it and then we're going to like it. Because it is strange to listen to something like, as if it were Alvin and the Chipmunks. I mean, it's kind of strange. It bothers a little. I know that. But to be honest, like, I was, since Overture, like, the album trailer that they released that had a piece of that song, I was prepared to have, like, lots of parts of it sang by Angel Moon. That is the name of the character that they put as a feature artist. That we know that it's Chris, but in their spheres word, it's Angel Moon or Angelina. They have lots of names for it. Even on Cry, Cry, Cry on the previous record. So, I mean, I was ready for that. That was not a thing for me. For me, the problem of this song was structure. But no, like, nowadays, like, I can enjoy it very, very much. This song, when I noticed that Chris Martin was probably not speaking about, like, not singing about a lover, but maybe, like, a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I love when Coldplay do those kind of things, by the way. Like, usually they have lots of love songs for friends. Like, they value friendship and other kinds of love that are not just romantic in a very natural way. And sometimes we're so addicted to think about love songs as romantic love songs. And when you have that click, this is clearly not romantic, like we have on Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easier to connect, you know? It makes it easier to understand and to be there and say, oh, I have lots of ways to connect this to my life. It's so easy to connect those songs, even though they're not like memories, as we were talking about like from previous mm-hmm. albums. Aside Coldplay, you and I have a very similar musical taste. Like we mm-hmm. developed after Coldplay in a very similar perspective. Coldplay is usually very simple. Sometimes they decide to make like 10-minute songs. That happens, but usually they're very simple in structure. But nowadays, I think we have developed to be in a more complex side. Like we already appreciate some artists and some songs that are very complex and goes to a different path from Coldplay. This was natural for us. But when I talk to people that also listen to those kind of songs that we listen nowadays, they usually say, like, but Coldplay's your favorite song? And you listen to, like, this 20-minute experimental track that you just showed me, and you'll say that this is good, and Coldplay's your favorite song? And I mean, yes, I don't have any kind of history with that guy who made a 20-minute experimental ambient song. It's just something that I like. But with Coldplay,
yes,
I have history, and I wouldn't be listening to a 20, 30-minute song with instrumentals only or anything that is very difficult to listen if it wasn't for that simplicity of Coldplay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the end, thanks Coldplay, right? That's everything we need to be thankful for. As I told you in the beginning, we were going to talk about live concerts. I need to know about that. I know a lot about that because you went to one concert and I went to another one in a period of 4 days, even less maybe. We basically saw the same thing. It was basically the same everything.
We have to be together on the next, because
we deserve that. Like, we truly deserve that, especially if they don't come only to Rock in Rio. God, please. Amen. Please, Brazilian fans know what we're talking about.
People who are listening to this is like, why not Rock in Rio? It's like,
basically Rock in Rio is very expensive and it is a smaller concert and it's not the same structure. Mm-hmm. Like, it's basically paying even a more expensive ticket to see three bands that we don't want to see. I don't want to see Camila Cabello. I don't want to see Bastille. I would like to see Giovanni, that is a very nice artist here from Brazil. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that has nothing to do with Coldplay. I don't understand the lineup at all, but well, whatever.
I don't know. I think this Rock in Rio, it's like a random
it's
days.
It's very
like,
random.
Oh, let's sort here what we want to put together with Coldplay. So let's see. Oh, Javon, that's fine. Let's put
Have you seen that meme where you have like a plate of food with like cookies, popcorn, rice, and like lots of things that don't match, that don't make sense together? And people are saying that this day on Rock in Rio is like that plate with like cookies and rice. That doesn't make sense at all. Like, I will send you that later. But yeah, I mean, I love Javon, but why? Why? He is like historical.
Things I don't understand. Why?
Things I don't understand. Yeah, this episode is basically that. But yeah, that's why usually fans in Brazil don't want to go to Rock in Rio. Not only the tickets are expensive, everything in Rio gets even more expensive because of Rock in Rio. So
The flight tickets and the hotel rooms is like more expensive than...
Even food, like to eat on Rock in Rio, is more expensive. And things in Brazil are already more expensive than natural because of our government and because of the pandemic. So, I mean, no, please, Coldplay, no. But, well, talking about live concerts, how was it? How was the experience of being there? Were you there on November 7th or November 8th?
Seventh,
the first day.
I remember that, I don't know, the show started like 3 or 4 hours later.
Wow, I remember that was a delay, but not that.
Yeah, I remember that when we first got there, I think it was 10 in the morning.
Wow.
And okay. Yeah, because I live in another city that is like 1,000 kilometers from São Paulo.
Yeah.
So we travel from Goiânia, that is my city, to São Paulo. And I remember that I woke up like 6 on that day. And
oh, it was the same day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
wow.
same day.
Okay.
It was like a Wednesday, so it has to be that way. Like,
yeah.
We woke up in Goiânia and...
Go to bed in São Paulo.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And the concert was late and then we didn't have fireworks.
Yeah,
because
I remember
of
that.
The traffic. I don't know exactly what happened. I remember that Chris said like, we're sorry for everything. Like so many times, I don't remember. But even with this kind of problems... I think it was one of the best things in my life.
Yeah.
When you get there and you see what's happening and you see that you're there at that moment and you enter the stadium and you see and you see everything like ready for the concert and you take your Zylo band and you look and you think, oh, I'm here. It's finally happening.
When they start to glow,
years.
Like when the Zylo band starts to glow, that is literally the first second of this concert. When they start to glow, it's just, it's just too much.
I don't even know how to talk about it because it's like you have to be there to feel what it is to be on a Coldplay concert. Yeah. It's like I keep telling everybody who asks me like, oh, how was it? How what do you do? How you get there? Yeah. How do you get to the concert? And I just can say, like, you have to go someday, even if you're not a Coldplay fan.
Yes.
I have a friend from São Paulo who lives there that day he went to the stadium just to see me, but he didn't watch the concert. I tell him, why?
Yeah.
Why he didn't watch the concert? But I keep telling everybody, even you're not a Coldplay fan, you have to watch.
Yeah.
To have the experience, like the feelings you have, and the community. You can meet your friends, you can make new friends, and you can see your favorite songs, and you can sing, and you can cry, and you can scream, and yeah. You can do everything. It's like you can do everything.
Yeah. Every time that I remember that day of the concert, I remember that there was a dude just in front of me, like in the next row, that he was just, I can't even explain. He wasn't sad, but he wasn't happy. He was just sat down the whole concert. He was sat down the whole concert. He can't do that.
Oh.
I could truly feel that he was not enjoying. Mm-hmm. But when Viva La Vida started, he just went crazy. He went literally crazy. I remember him very clearly because he's bald. In every damn picture that we have taken on that day, he is there. We can see him. But and that was it. Like, Viva La Vida started, he stand up, he went crazy. And then he sat down again. Like, that was it. He paid a ticket just for Viva La Vida. So, and I mean, he probably paid a ticket just for one song, and he really liked it. Mm-hmm. Like, he had his moment.
Yeah, and even if you're not a Coldplay fan, you have like a lot of songs that you will recognize.
Yeah.
And you will like Viva or Fix You or The Scientist or Yellow. Or even My Universe.
Yeah, I usually, like, personally speaking, I'm not, like, I listen to those big singles like Clocks. I'll have the example of Clocks, for example. I don't mm-hmm. happen to listen to Clocks that much. Like, to go on the album and on Spotify and play it, like, the studio version. But I can swear to you, like, Clocks is the first song that I listened to them. So you have the idea that I have already listened to that song a zillion of times. So, but when they started playing it, it was clearly one of the best moments of my life. Because, like, I was, again, I have a story with that song. It's not just a song. It is not even a song that I listen to that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When they played the first chord of it, like the first note of it, I remember I grabbed my cell phone, I made like a quick story on my Instagram saying something like, I don't think I will handle more anything else when this song is over, because I mean, it's just so intense. And yeah, I mean, it's, even if you like, if you don't like Coldplay, remember that bald mm-hmm. guy in front of me. Just remember that. He paid a ticket, not a cheap one.
Just one.
Just for one
just
song.
Just one song.
Exactly. So, I mean, this guy turned out to be my hero. I mean, because he was really there.
I remember that the best song on the concert for me was God Put a Smile Upon Your Face.
I didn't have that on the set list. I did. It was Birds. I really love the fact that he played Birds, because it's Birds, but I didn't have that.
Yeah, I like Birds, but come on, it's like, yeah, it's God Put a Smile Upon Your Face.
Yeah.
So when I heard the guitar, it's like, oh, I have one video from that moment, and you can't hear anything. It's just me screaming like...
That's the best.
I never show this video to anybody because it's like, it's just me screaming. You can't hear anything from the concert or yeah. I don't know. It's just me. But for me, it was like the best moment of the whole thing, because I don't know. It was like, oh, I can't explain. You have to see that video.
I truly get your point. I mean, it's God Put a Smile. It's a classic, and it used to play it in a very specific way. But I was rooting to have Birds live. Mm-hmm. But it was not a single, so I'm pretty sure that it's more likely for me to listen to Gapurus Mayo now instead of Birds. But mm-hmm. I have something very similar, because I remember I started recording an audio for a friend saying, like, this is the moment, because they were in the same place on the set list. So A, they could play Birds, or B, they could play God Put a Smile Upon Your Face. And I was rooting for Birds. And then I started recording an audio in the transition that is a snippet of Oceans. And I said, this is the moment. This is the moment. And then Will started drumming, like, the beginning of Birds. And my reaction is exactly like yours. Like, this audio is just like me screaming so much. I was in the arena part. I was very far from the stage. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know how this happens on other countries, but usually, like, true fans, in a lot of quotation marks, true fans are closer to the stage.
Yes.
And not very big fans are not that close to the stage. Usually that's what happens. So in the section that I was in, I could truly, like, easily say that I was more of a fan than other people. Like, I was screaming louder than other people. I was acting crazier than other people. I was maybe one of the only people who knew all the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they played Always in My Head. That is not a single. It's not a famous one. So they played Life is Beautiful, and I knew how to sing Life is Beautiful. Nobody knew about that song.
Yeah, it was the same. It was the same. It was, for
so
me.
Yeah. So people were looking at me like,
what's happening?
So yeah, I mean, I don't remember how I came into that point, but yeah, I mean, I have, like, videos and audios where I was just screaming at the top of my lungs, because that is to be a Coldplay fan, right? This is to be a Coldplay fan.
Yeah, and we have the DVD now, yes. So I can see Birds.
Yeah, you can see Birds. That's
because dream. They put everything together, yeah, in the DVD, so it's okay.
And I can listen to God Put a Smile Upon Your Face, because on Buenos Aires, that was the one on the CD, they played, yes, God Put a Smile, mm-hmm, so we can have the, like, that different experience. Something that I want to comment, just a real comment, is because you said that they have a 3-hour delay on the concert, and it's nice to say, and this is something, if you're a Brazilian human being, you know what I'm talking about, you know the struggle. they had to delay the concert because of the fireworks, that they got stuck in customs in Curitiba, like, everything, they're like, usually, like,
yeah, I remember now, it was in Curitiba. Yes,
this is something for you that are not a Brazilian citizen. If you order something from outside of Brazil and you are in Brazil, usually they spend, like, 1 month to arrive in Brazil, but, like, 3 to 4 months stuck in the very same place. That is Curitiba. That is a town here, a city here.
It's like a black hole.
Yeah, we call it, we have lots of different names for Curitiba, exactly, uh-huh, because of that. Because usually things that you order, like, online spend a long time there. And when this happens to Coldplay, like, it's like a worldwide famous band, and it happens, like, the exact same thing that happened to us, like, regular human beings. So it was so funny to see that happening. I mean, I'm sorry for your delay, but it was very funny to see that this happened with Coldplay also.
Yeah, I can't even remember that part now. It's like,
yeah, it's just a blur.
Yeah, it's like a blur. But I can remember, like, the songs and see my friends.
Yeah.
This kind of things. And the hardest part, you just, I don't know.
You just forget about it.
Forget, like, about, yes, it.
It's not even, like, a point. The connection is so intense that it's just a mere detail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mari, thank you so much for being here. You're finishing this season one of the show. I didn't tell you in the beginning for you not to be nervous about that, but this is the last episode of 2021. And I think it was a very nice one, by the way. Do you have anything else to say that you didn't have the opportunity that you want to say for people?
Nice. I just want to thank you for having me. Let's wait for the other concerts that I think Coldplay will make, like, at least one more concert in Brazil. If you're Brazilian and you're listening to this, like...
Yeah, you know the deal.
I just want to thank everybody for listening. For the people who follow me on my new Twitter account. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, your Twitter handle will be somewhere here on the description of the episode, or even in the thumb of the episode.
My Twitter is like my last name, so it's not hard to find me because it's not a common name.
It's called Scorsese, right? It's something like
that. Yeah, it's Scorsese, so it's easy to find.
I love your last name, by the way. I think it's so fancy, like Scorsese. Is it like Italian or French?
Yeah, it's Italian, but there's a story about it because my family originally was from Portugal, but when they came here, we have this problem with how to write because Brazilians didn't know how to write Scorsese. So they started to write like randomly, and we have in the same family we have people with different last names because of that. So mine, it's like the Italian version. I have my grandfather was Scorsese with a knee. So that's it. That's the story.
Wow, that's nice. But yeah, if people want to follow you, it's just like Coles-Scorsese on Twitter. Mari, thank you very much. I hope to see you around. And I hope that we go to the next Coldplay concert together.
Yes.
This needs to happen. This is going to happen. Don't worry about it. Yeah, thank you very much. See you later. And for you who are listening, we see each other next year. Have a very Merry Christmas and a very great New Year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah. Go listen to Christmas Lights. Now it's the time.
Yeah, now it's the time to listen to Christmas Lights. Officially, according to Phil. Thank you very much. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Code Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Samines. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luiz Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us on the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Code Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.